Diablo Avenue in Oakland. This festival takes place on November 25th from 12 noon to 4 a.m. For details, call 510-900-9076.
And this is 94.1 KPFA, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 FM in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. Stay tuned for the Visionary Activist Show.
Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So today we set forth in a jaunty, yes, the medicine brew. We'll be listening to a portion of my talk, the post-cataclysmic election talk delivered at Open Secret on November 15th, to a rousing full house, you know, that we may jaunty our spirits, and here we go.
Yo, team. That was just a little bit of Brother Leonard Cohen, who... he said, you wanted it darker. So I guess we did. So Leonard, who died on election day, was like, democracy is coming. How splendid to gather now at this crucial time. Wonderful Brazilian word, jatinho. It means the powerful magic that comes in dangerous times. So we're here to invite in and be agents of the powerful magic that comes in dangerous times. So, yeah, gathering our wits for the wild ride ahead, let's elaborate that and the many kinds of storytelling that are available to us. In Trickster we trust, yes, Trickster as keeper of democracy. You know, all of us be agents of that. We will elaborate and animate. We are convening to co-animate Citizen Trickster. We've had Trickster, and now we have Citizen Trickster as a crucial dynamic. And, you know, our Trickster motto, better a trickster than a martyr be. The model of that, as many of you know who've been hanging with me for a while, is the martyr part of all of us and the trickster part of all of us takes on the unconscious poison of family and culture, and the trickster takes it on and goes, oh, now I've taken it on and I don't feel so well. Whoa. And many people are on fainting couches with smelling salts under their dynamic. Many people are hovering on the edge. Many people are frightened. But the trickster, see, takes on the unconscious poison of culture and family, but does not presume to metabolize it by themselves, raises their hand and invites in however you want to animate it. You know, Mary Magdalene, Spirit of Wolf, you know, Trickster, Coyote, Raven, Resilience, invites it on in. So, because it's that which can metabolize the poison. So we're here to crank up the synchronicity improbability dial. Remember wonderful Terry Pratchett's character, Granny Weatherwax, when she's told she can't do something, you know, you can't do that. Million to one chances against you. She goes, million to one chances crop up 9 times out of 10. Right, she would cackle in a way that would cause wolves to pause, like, whoa. Yeah, danger and beauty have always gone together in nature, and here we are. You know, if against all odds are the odds that Trickster likes, apparently the odds just weren't against enough. Okay, now we've got the real challenge. So I have the Muti. It's Coyote hair from Stella Coyote, who sends her regards. 18-and-a-half-year-old Coyote back there keeping camp in outside Washington, D.C., and mixed with tobacco. And all the people all over the world and all over this country who are standing up for water. Right now, Venus's Sabian symbol, Venus's image as she sets in the west, is Indians mobilizing. And we go, whoa, we are in alignment. We say, oh, spirit of the compassionate trickster, residing within each one of us, the trickster, liberating blessing. You know, give us the woof to, you know, to rise to the occasion. You know, open the path before each one of us. And in the immortal words of our great ally, David Grimes, if we're not having fun, we're just not serious enough. So here we go. There we go. By universal distribution. Yeah, so, yes, all year we've been saying America, simultaneous psychotic breakdown renaissance, take your pick. And we go, whoa, it's tippy. Well, but, you know, we've all made it here. How splendid. We don't need more power, but to animate and avail ourselves of the considerable powers we have. And part of it is, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but we like to suck the G out of kingdom, boom, you know, and exhale it to where it belongs, which is everywhere. And what it leaves is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Invaluable things, really right at hand. You know, there's a simple mudra learned a million years ago. It's just fist not clenched, a light, you know, just crossed, kind of like an Egyptian thing like that. I invite you all to try that. This is the mudra that banishes fear, right? And experiment, experiment, experiment. But it's one where we just sort of breathe in, you know, and we're in a little kind of oval magnetic field. And we breathe out a blessing, you know, we breathe in. But it's got a courage dynamic to it. It's an invaluable, useful thing. And then just bringing hands down, you know, kind of in an equilibrium way, as though you're holding balance, too, to be agents of balance. You know, first responders as opposed to first reactors, right? You know, first reactors are like, oh, my God, it's horrible. First responders, very cool. Here we go. You know, we gather now, and we might say we just got smoked on our strong suit, you know, of symbolism and story. And then we add the jaunty, magic, liberating words, until now, okay, we got smoked on our strong suit of symbolism and power of story. And that's really the kind of crucial dynamic. We say strategic cultural advantage goes to those cultivating intimacy with the power of symbols, Neptune, dreams, images, imagination. Cooperators are standing by. You know, we just had this fantastic full moon that was so generous and kind to us, closest in of 68 years, moon at perigee, you know, exalted in Taurus, which is Big Mama, you know, how good it is to be here, incarnation. It amplifies that dedicated acts of beauty invite power into the world. You know, the more danger, the more Venus, the more beauty everywhere. We did get smoked, and I love to turn, you know, to every, you know, who brought what? You know, all the things that we've cultivated and carried with us, little handbooks and notes and dedications and all of that. So I always carry with me Morihei Ueshiba's little pocketbook, The Art of Peace, which is so useful strategically. Remember, he says, do not stare into your enemy's eyes. He will mesmerize you. Do not stare at your enemy's weapon. He will terrify you. Create your own magnetic field, and then you can stand anywhere you like. And, you know, everybody to take this with us in our magic backpacks, going, right, to note, like, whoa, okay, and then, and to not get snookered into polarity right now as we are protectors. Protectors, such a useful trading in of the word protester, which means to grab your balls. I mean, that's really what it means. Pro is again, is for, and testes, protest. You know, and it is. Leviticus, too. I can quote Bible, too. You know, and it's why women can't testify, but we can ovify. May we all be given to ovifying. So just in our own dynamic, everything real, everything symbolic, the small and the large, you know, because protest means to grab your balls and affirm something. You know, I protest, and it used to be I protest against the war, right? But that was an energetic U-turn. You were already losing energy in that curve. And then people dropped the against. We're protesting the war, which means we're affirming it, you know. And it's small, but it's large, you know. We want to have everything lined up, that our story, our language, you know, our metaphor be in accord with our dedicated hearts, you know. And so we're here to do many things. But so the Art of Peace is grand that way. You know, in Aikido, you know, the aggressor always loses, you know, and you don't resist, but you do guiding, you know, this way. We are cultural public dreamers and guides, you know, going this way? No, over there. There we go. You know, where do we want a financial collapse? In the polluting industries. Who's a good financial collapse? Yes, you are. Over there. We are dog whisperers, atmosphere whisperers, going, no, right over there. There, that's where, there. What a good financial collapse. You know, too expensive. Who's a good too expensive? Over there to all up to no good, you know, programs. Make them too expensive. There we go. So everything that comes our way, we go, and where do you want to go? And where does this want to go? So part of our dynamic, you know, we're still in the Scorpio realm, the incarnation of Mars with Pluto as its tour guide. I just finished convening a 7-month course on the Shift Network, and it was irresistible because it started in April and it went to November 9th. I'm like, oh, wow, you know, to work with people about, you know, atmospheric influence and cultivate our trickster skills until the day after the election. And so it was poignant convening the last day on November 9th, going, I guess the world needs all of our trickster skills even more. It's more useful and necessary than we'd even, you know, dared to imagine. We go, so part of that dynamic, Mars is in Aquarius right now. Its image is a performer in a ritual mystery play. So we're all performers in a ritual mystery play. And that idea also of transforming anger into desire. All right, you're angry about this? What do you want? What do you want? What do you desire? So, you know, just as a fun thing, I hate mandatory sharing. I don't share and I don't process. But just for the fun of it, in the course of the evening, we might, because the cooperators are standing by backstage, we just go, who's willing to be an agent of transforming anger into desire? And we go, there we go. Okay, a few people. Come on, team. There we go. Deputies, deputy tricksters, you know, again, affirming, because the reason we want to take vows playfully and dedicatedly both, you know, because this humbling time is we can't even be who we want to be by ourselves. You know, it's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. So we are, you know, again, making our manifestos of dedicated devotion. What are we devoted to? The internal dedication strengthens our outward signal, so that we're more likely to be danced into place with those with whom we are kin, you know, the right person at the right time, all of that quality, you know, the synchronicity magic. And years ago, I understood, you know, Uranus trickster is also ingenuity, democracy, equality, synchronicity. And I was like, well, what do those things have to do with each other? And it became very clear that, you know, on stage we have different roles and all, but backstage where we all are also all the time, you know, the only way really to treat each other is direct straight across. Hi, how you doing? When we look down, and if we do that, the rate of synchronicity really does increase dramatically. I just offer this as an experimental thing to go out and make your own, because everything's only valuable. Believe nothing, entertain possibilities until you experience it and you go, ooh, it is true. But the implications are when we look down at someone or up at somebody, condescension or supplication, there is no magic. So it says, well, this is good news for the transformation of culture. The Dementors of Doom, bless their little cuckoo possessed hearts, you know, have more lawyers, more money, more preparation, more thing, you know. But we, if we treat each other well, ally etiquette, have synchronicity, that kind of quality of magic. And, you know, we also wonder, you know, who do we want narrating this thing? You know, so we may all have favorite authors. One of my favorite authors is Terry Pratchett. Any Terry Pratchett fans here? Okay, very good. Because in Terry Pratchett world, he's such a great animist. You know, bless his ancestral heart. Everything is alive. Everything is animated. A moan escaped his lips, happy to be free. You know, the luggage is alive. I mean, everything's alive. And he's so good at the transformation of tyranny. We want to draw on the Art of Peace. We want to draw on our favorite authors, you know, all teachings that have been good about, you know, trickster triumphing over tyranny. So Terry Pratchett is so good that way. And all year I've been going, oh, his novel, I Shall Wear Midnight, pretty great. Because it begins with the young girl witch, and she's helping the old patriarch to die, who was, you know, an adversary of sorts. And she's taking away his pain. And she says the first thing she learned in witchcraft was all about balance. How to let the pain flow through you, not into you. The center of the seesaw is neither up nor down, but upness and downness flow through it. Oh, wow. And then her task for the novel, there's a cunning man, a cunning con man, and his His toxic mimic art form is constellating mob mind. Right, and mob mind, you know, we can tap into it anytime we ourselves think or say, like, I don't know why I said that. I don't know what got into me. We go, oh, it's the memosphere, right? So it's our task. The purpose of ritual magic was always to spiral expanded wisdom and tolerance into group human mind. You know, right now there's a lot of different frequencies and stations, and, you know, it's we're gathering here in humble, dedicated trickster fun to do just that, you know, again, but there's a lot of support, you know, and the quality right now, because it's so dangerous, you know, you can feel when things are authentic or not. You can feel when we're really kind of calling it in. You can feel the goodness of everyone gathered here going, it's palpable, you know, anger into desire, and the quality metaphors are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. All of us also, beneath our chairs, invisibly, have a quiver of arrows, Each arrow is tipped with compassion, with tyranny as its target. Fatum. You know, and as we take this ride now through this month, through November 19th, when Neptune stations, it's retrograde, and then it goes direct right on November 19th, which is reality hits illusion. What has been hidden becomes revealed, and we go, oh, there's a lot of ways to play with that. And then we head into December. Trump's got a racketeering charge, you know, later this month, and a rape charge in December, you know, all kinds of things. And then on December 19th, the Electoral College meets, and Mercury retrogrades and stations that day. We go, it's fluid. It's very fluid. I know some people are like, you know, Electoral College, they could change their minds. And, you know, at a gathering at Commonweal over the weekend, you know, we're just trying many stories and things. And part of me at one point, I thought, wait a minute, I was so mesmerized by the unfurling horror. Like, oh my God, John Bolton, you say, as head of State Department, God. But I almost forgot what I love most, which is Trickster. And it's like, right. Part of me at that point also was like, I'm not even seeing him inaugurated. I'm not even seeing him inaugurated. You never know. We're not counting on anything. You know, we're not counting on anything. You know, we know that expectation is the partner of disappointment, so we're not expecting anything. Oh, here's a runner with water. That's good. Good help. Yes, the sacred waters of life. So I go, yeah, anything could happen. I mean, cooperators are standing by. I want to guide us through the fluctuating field. So we don't expect. We're not counting on anything, but we're available and willing. And to direct things. And magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything, whatever is dealt us, not to condone, not to accept, but to play, to dance, to work, to guide. Where does this want to go? What would be the most witty thing? And the cool thing also about, you know, our Trickster Alliance is when we don't know, there's a lot we don't know, it says just invite in that which does. You know, come on in, that which is truly best for everyone in a way that is creatively disruptive and makes us bark with laughter in the fullness of time. You know, come on in. But the arrows tipped with compassion, we're going to let those fly, you know, as we head towards a little preview. Because as we get to the winter solstice, you know, okay, so Mercury retrogrades and stations, you know, for about 3 weeks on December 19th. Let me just remind people, predictions are really not so useful. Comes from the word predicament. Not always a good thing. So almost all predictions are into the cauldron. However, in 2000, I did look at that election, election day, and thought, oh, Mercury stations and retrogrades on election day in 2000. I wonder if that means, like, that's the election that will never be over. I wonder. You know, and we go, So we don't know, but it means the protoplasm of reality is especially receptive to imaginative imprint, not counting on, but just, it's a wild field. And as we get to the winter solstice, some very powerful things happen. Whoops. Actually, back to December 19th for a moment. Mercury will station at 15 degrees of Capricorn, conjoining Pluto, Lord of Underworld. They're going to be lined up. It goes back for its rendezvous, going, anything we need to know from the hidden realms? Anything we need to know before we go forward? Now, come on out. Because part of the deal here is, you know, cooperators are standing by, but they must be invited. You know, whether it's in your journal or in our gatherings or, you know, any dedicated physical thing. We say a ritual is not some hokey thing that somebody tells you to do, stand on one foot, hop around under the full moon, whatever the thing is. No outsourcing of Saturn. It's any physical thing we do that we imbue with dedicated symbolism. By the stirring of this soup, by the lighting of this candle, by the doing of this thing, may it be that, you know, may this humble vase of flowers, you know, invite in convivial discourse, all of our altars. So it's also the trickster dynamic is to wish fierce blessing. Now, we all, you know, it's been a pretty hot and reactive field, and, you know, we can all blow it. In fairy tales, we don't always live up to our ideals, and we do blow it. But then we get back and go, ooh, dedicated, you know. So, the polarity, it's like how to be compassionate and liberating, but still spicy. I do love Dorothy Parker, who says, I get up every morning and brush my teeth and sharpen my tongue. So I did, and I grew up in a pretty rough and tumble verbal family that if you said something kind of silly, it was, kind of like a wolf pack, you know, and so a little bit of, you know, wolf teeth on the throat, not breaking the skin, I think is really quite okay. And so I granted myself one imperfect thing that probably the innocent person on Facebook didn't completely deserve. And we go, no. Oops, where? Oh, that spicy, fun insight. No, you want to go over into the satire folder, not necessarily to the innocent dingbat going, you know, saying, Elizabeth Warren didn't vote for Bernie, so she sold out, so she's a terrible person, so I don't know why she's huffing about banks for. And I was like, you ignorant whippersnapper. I go, oops, shouldn't have said that, but God, it tasted good. And of course, I mean, I'm sure that because it was a rush to see who could block each other first, so she will never hear this. Good luck wherever you are. I'm going to block you first. And of course, her name was, you know, Oracle Pythia Moon Muffin, right? And I go, oh, Lord. And I go, you know, Elizabeth Warren's, you know, yes, we were all very Bernie, but she's been dedicated to collective good longer than you've been an alleged Pythia. So it was bad. It was bad, but I'm letting myself just savor that and going, I won't do it again. And the reframe, of course, is, you know, I find for part of our dynamic is useful to throw into the cauldron, you know, just for the fun of it, I'll experiment. If we throw the word you into the cauldron and we ladle out we, it does all kinds of, you know, we would wish, you know, respectful, we would, you know, we were talking about this in a kind of online council that I convene on Monday nights. God, that was only last night. Time. You know, and saying, you know, hashtag, we've all been snookered, right? Very different from you've been snookered, right? Hashtag, we've all been snookered. We would wish you, you know, clarity. We would wish you modulation. We would wish. So we engage in this field, ideally, of reciprocal blessing. It can be spicy as long as it's inclusive of ourselves. And that's part of the dynamic of now of bringing all things that have been falsely sundered, falsely estranged, as a mean trick of the reality police to render people ineffective. So, for instance, activism and animism, they so belong together. That's the indigenous dynamic in all of our souls. You know, the willingness to cooperate with everything we love in nature to form an alliance. You know, and again, the things I carry with me always was Lakota Elder on the radio a million years ago saying, you know, we didn't hunt alone. Those gifted would go into a reverie or a trance. These are very important skills. And they would, you know, telepathically broker a deal with the wolves and coyotes, and we would all hunt together for a season. And if you want to destroy a culture, destroy its capacity to form these, you know, animistic, respectful alliances across borders, you know, cooperating with everything. You know, it's the full moon Taurus right behind us of animism. Everything's alive. Not just the obvious plants and animals and dogs, but the rocks. And I was talking to a woman with many Taurus planets and talking about animism and dedicated acts of beauty. And she goes, oh, yeah. I make walls and they last forever because I always invite the rocks to hang together before I begin. And a kahuna friend of mine said, well, that's the essence of the kahunas in Hawaii, that before a big project, they would walk through the land and ask what rocks wanted to be part of the project, and the rocks that volunteered would carry half their weight. That's their story, right? And so this, you know, kind of animistic, you know, willingness to cooperate, and that's the wedding, you know, so that, that activists are not like, the world is run by capitalists and imperialists, and how dare you talk about mythology, and we go, oh, that's so colonized as a mind. That used to be part of my radio section backstage, what I wish I'd said last week. But it's true that the sneakiness of colonialism as a very sneaky virus, you know, to render people kind of important by their practical skills, but it is colonized, you know, and all, we know all animism, all that, that which is happening in North Dakota, the wedding of prayerfulness and the wedding of, you know, working to become more like what we love in order to protect it, to become more like water to protect water, to become more like wolves to protect wolves. You know, and this is a time where we wonder, you know, what is it, each one of us with our own quirky affinities, and it's an alliance calling out to be made in a shape-shifting way. And, you know, so, you know, the, it would be as though a part of us in our ancient skill set that we're kind of reaching back to call everything into play remembers on a cellular level the capacity to go into reverie and trance and broker a deal and emerge going, all right, it took a while, you know, but the coyotes want the front left leg and half the liver of every other deer, and the wolves are cool with that, and the deer are cool with that. Everybody back on stage. This on-stage, backstage dynamic, you know, which is so now the kind of Scorpio-Taurus realm, the invisible realm. You know, and that's why Terry Pratchett says, here we are convening in this little circle of firelight we call the physical world. Whoa, surrounded by mystery and demons and things and ancestors and all of that. So we do honor those recent ancestors. Mose Allison died today. The things that really matter do not mix with idle chatter, he left us with. And, you know, he was quoting Mumbo Jumbo, Ishmael Reed's great, great novel about New Orleans, and calling the magic there just grew. It just grew, and it spread out all over the world because it was irresistible. You know, Leon Russell, Leonard Cohen, if you want it darker. And somebody who didn't, knock on wood, My cat, my temple downstairs cat, who presides over all readings and all classes online by sprawling on the keyboard, you know, Dr. Wu Catman, but the election really took a lot out of him. As I was going out the door to come here, he collapsed completely and was taken to emergency vet, and his systems collapsed, and heart failure and many things going on, and, you know, sure, we're 3,000 in, sure, you know, it's just magic, absolutely. So now he just ate something, he's apparently coming back, so I just want to, you know, welcome back, Dr. Wu Catman. Because of I talk a lot about Stella Coyote because she's the sort of more most exotic animal from which I derive cred. But the cats are equally important, and Dr. Wu Catman is, you know, carries such great important trickster redeemer medicine for us, because I got him and his sisters as little rescue black kitties. They were on death row because nobody wanted black cats, and a friend rescued them. Okay, and as he grew up, he became this massive guy, just this massive guy. Everybody else was a girl in the house, massive guy. And he became the bully, and he was keeping the other cats from eating, and some of them were hiding in the corner. I'm like, oh no, this is terrible. So he was spoiled, and I go, all right, here we go. You are such a guy. You are such a guy. You are strong enough to be gentle. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And he became the protector of those he had been, you know, harassing. And when his prime victim became his prime recipient of care, my ancient Siamese cat, when she was dying, he became her groomer and protector, right? So, yes, you are. Again, Mars, strong enough to be gentle, strong enough to be gentle. Because part of the atmospheric magic right now, you know, I think part of what we can animate, you know, is like when a solution gets saturated, like you keep adding salt, and then you add one more grain of salt, and the salt falls out. And I think the atmosphere of where we're going is kind of like that. You know, there's a great movie that still stands up, 7 Days in May. Anybody know that movie? It's really good. It's really good. It's worth a rewatch, 1962. It was JFK's favorite novel. It's about a coup in America. But the reason I bring it up, it's pretty great and stands up pretty well. There are right-wing bad people, but at a certain point, it gets so violating the Constitution that they bail out, right? I spent time in D.C. talking to NSA whistleblowers and stuff, and they were in the NSA for 40 years, right? Bad things. Until at a certain point, they're like, can't go further. This is way out, you know. And that's kind of where we are. And so that's why it's also important that we change, you know, anger into desire and into invitation and magnetism. You know, come on over here. You know, because we are friends of your soul, we're enemy of your project. Come on over here. There we go. You know, and that's why, again, it's, you know, to take from all the medicines, you know, in the world. You know, Nelson Mandela, you know, who knew when he was under life sentence on Robben Island, but he knew, you know, when he got out, he was going to have to negotiate with thugs and murderers and people who had viewed him as their enemy. So he practiced with the guards, you know, no matter what they did to him. They took his book and burned it. They deprived him of pen and paper. And still, he insisted on spiraling into the human part. Whatever we speak to another is the part of them we're inviting to dance. And when he got out, and the miracle in South Africa of Nelson emerging not bitter, right? This is also crucial. Many people in South Africa I met had every reason to be bitter and were, right? Okay. But then you meet those people who have every reason to be bitter and who aren't. And we go, that's the alchemy. That's the incredible medicine elixir, you know, for all of us. It's why we also want to think of, you know, transforming. You know, I've been in so many groups where people would go, my trauma, my trauma, my trauma, my trauma. You know, and I go, what's your trauma? And they're like, I forgot. But I know I have one, and it's bigger than yours. So I began saying, well, how about next time you're tempted to use the word trauma, you replace it with the phrase, my dangerous, beautiful assignment. You know, because everything that we've undergone has equipped us with the capacity to brew a unique medicine derived from that, our mission. You know, and no matter what happens in the outer world, this stationing of Mercury on December 19th, conjoining Pluto, is a deep time of, you know, transforming trauma into mission, our dangerous, beautiful assignment. You know, who brought what? You know, and from whatever suffering, whatever difficulty we've been through, you know, all the myths are saying those who make it through the underworld earn the right to be cultural trickster redeemers. That's the Inanna myth. You know, again, that capacity. And very often it's very synchronous. You know, when we've gone through something difficult, we often meet people who are going through something difficult. And there's nothing, you know, more powerful than going through something really difficult and meeting somebody who's just a few steps ahead of you going, come on. I got through it. Come on, I got through it. So it's also, you know, the journey to the underworld, you know, always involves the accumulation of skills that just aren't earned in any other way. You go, wow. So our dangerous, beautiful assignment, onward into the dark, with what jauntiness we can muster. You know, my love, you know, everything that we love is all wanting, awaiting animation. So I love, you know, myths are, mythic figures are kind of big symbolic animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. Fairy tales, more local, more customized, intimate. Detective novels, same thing. You know, the first detective novels are found 231 BC in China. Very, very old. And its model was the purpose of the magistrate, the detective, who is authentic because they're dedicated, so that their inside and their outside matches. You know, it's something we can feel the texture of. And so their purpose was to descend into the underworld in order to restore human affairs to be in accord with the mandate of heaven and earth. Now, that's the basic, you know, myth, fairy tale, detective novel dynamic as it, you know, moves into cultural vernacular. But there's some tips from detective novels that are very important. You know, it's good to have a buddy, you know, to maintain jaunty aplomb, you know, cheating death together. it's a good thing. And wisecracking is important. Satire is important. You know, and then also the skill, because what happens is a theme in all the myths and fairy tales and detective novels is the detective, the magistrate part of all of us will meet up to no good people. who intend on doing them harm. But then they go, I was going to kill Rob, but I can feel you're authentic. You're not a con. So I want to join your team, but I have underworld skills that you will need. This is a big theme from ancient China all the way into, and remember, Milarepa, greatest saint in Tibetan Buddhism, was a murderer, a highwayman, and a thug, right? So everything is very fluid, and also the fantastic movie Lives of Others. I don't know how many anybody's seen Lives of Others. It's really useful. Also might want to dust off The Handmaid's Tale. But Lives of Others is about how the sociopathic heart can bloom again. We don't know who. It might not be everybody. But we don't presume. And the way in which they bloom is perfect mythologically and true, which is the torturer who does terrible things, but he's to spy on this family of artists, Venus. And by spying on this family of artists, he becomes related. And he has a change of heart. It's really good. The sociopathic heart can come back to life. The trickster redeemer, is Scheherazade, the power of the woman storyteller, interested in liberating women, liberating the land, liberating even the tyrant who has hardened his heart. Haijan the Conqueror in the south, was not a man at first. He was a will to hope, and then the will to hope put on flesh, and he walked across the earth like a giant drumbeat, causing fear in tyrants, but also, heartening to all those who are oppressed. But also he was willing to redeem even the slaveholder, even the tyrant, and finish everything off with a laugh. And we go, yes, that kind of quality. When culture's in big trouble, it does turn to its outsiders, and those things that have been exiled in our own psyches or in the culture, come to the fore going, need me now? And we're like, yes, yes, absolutely. It's also, in many quippy ways, Neptune dreams, vision, imagination, water. Water reflects a reverse image, right? So it's stationing on November 19th, again, from inward to outward. And it's not so much predictive as guiding. Astrology is not so much a predictive, like who's going to win, because if we knew who was going to win, we couldn't have a democracy, or a corrupt oligarchy, or a Trumpocracy, or a thugocracy, whatever. So it's all in play, but it is guiding. It is encouraging. It is guiding. How shall we navigate this? So Neptune also says, well, what would we like reverse image? And as David Grimes reminded me, when you play movies backwards, if you play a horror movie backwards, everyone gets healed by chainsaws, and then we all go camping. Right? So. So we like that. Let's play the movie backwards. I like wedding that horror movies backwards, and with the fantastic important spiritual children's books, the Bunny Planet books by Rosemary Wells. I hope you can get them. My favorite is the Island Lighthouse. They're just little. Far beyond the Earth and stars, 20 light years south of Mars, spins the gentle bunny planet, and the bunny queen is Janet. Come in, she says, for here's the day that should have been. Right? And it's this beautiful, it's a little animal child, and everything's gone wrong, and, parents were grumpy and terrible, and they're in bed, and they're very sad, and then, wait, they go to the bunny planet where they redo the whole day in rhyme, just as it should have been. And years ago, I took the Bunny Planet books into KPFA to read them on the air, and to go, for here's the news that should have been. Wonderful, wonderful Eeyore general manager, Jim Bennett, at the time, who was very kind of serious or whatever, came up afterwards. He goes, those are my favorite books. And he said, and I was having such a hard time today with Pacifica that I brought them in, and then you read them on the air. Like, oh, that's so cute. So we have, reverse horror movies, Bunny Planet, and then how many people have seen Brain Dead? Okay. All right, okay, okay. Not everybody's cup of tea, but I think it should be. Just eight seasons on Amazon, eight shows on Amazon, but so useful. So reverse horror movie, Bunny Planet, we love syncretizing, and Brain Dead, which is a liberating, dark satire about Washington, and it doesn't sound like you want to see it at first, but you actually really do. because it's about space bugs that colonize politicians and then other people's brain, kind of half of the thing. And the symptom of having been taken over by the space bugs is, you know, it thrives on conflict. Everybody thrives on conflict. And they are equal opportunity satirist because I do think that everything worthy, everything spiritual should have an episode of South Park made about it, just to keep it clean, just to keep it clean. But the symptom of, and where they get everybody is that there's a kind of liberal person who gets taken over, and he's like, no, if you know, the NEA doesn't fund PBS, I will lose Antiques Roadshow. I will kill everybody. No. Yeah. And also, there, it's kind of wicked because, you know, taken over, you thrive on conflict, and you say, I will never compromise my ideals, is a symptom of having been taken over. It's wicked interesting. And it's the one-wayers. So all the right-wingers and the left-wingers join this thing, the one-wayers. Only one way. And that's a symptom that they've been taken over. And another symptom of having been taken over is that people quit drinking and start liking green drinks. And it's like, oh, get everybody. Get them all. They're like, my body is my temple. So it's like, yeah, you know, get everybody. But it was so useful, and that's why when it was too good, apparently, to have a second season, because it was so real. And it was so educational. Tony Shalhoub, as evil right-wing senator, had such a good time, you know, playing that role. And, of course, what he would do is weigh in the bills, weigh in the legislation. He would bury his plans for the Syrian detention camps, right? And the week that show aired, the Democrats actually could not vote for Zika funding because the Republicans had stashed Kill Planned Parenthood in there. You know, it's like, you got to know the savvy thing. And so it was doing this, you know, useful educational function. And it was pretty good about how you could recover. You could recover, but it required quite a lot of chocolate and sex. And alcohol. Yeah, chocolate, sex, and alcohol. That's right, exactly. Chocolate, sex, and alcohol could actually cause the bugs that thrive on conflict to leave and decolonize your brain. Pretty great. So here we are. I also love that we're animating metaphors and things to take away. You know, each one of us was working with this on, you know, different groups online, and we'll be doing more trickster training online and different things that are brewing. But, you know, animating the metaphors is so vital. And I was talking to a wonderful friend of mine I've known for a bazillion years, Next Generation Up, Libra and astrologer. You know, and as we were talking, she started to get really worked up about what a you know, Hillary Clinton, talking about American exceptionalism and how stupid it is. And I go, yeah, that is true. I want to animate some other stories. And she's like, it was almost like, space bugs, uh-oh. And I go, well, you know, I think there's, you know, ways to cooperate. And she's like, and I go, see, you tapped in people who loved Hillary and people who hated Hillary became possessed. I want to bring in this possession by a quality of vituperative, vehement, it's like Stella Coyote in her young years. Well, she would have been worse without some constraints, but say if there was a dog on the other side of the fence walking by that she wanted to get at it, and if she couldn't, she would bite me and her friend Moondog. And we're like, just bite anything, right? And so I said that to my friend. I go, see, you got possessed by ranting. And she was like, ha, got me, right? Okay, we pulled her back from the space bugs. And then she said, okay, so what we want to do is we want to convene in the screenwriter's hut. She grew up in Hollywood. And you know, remember in the 1930s, you know, the screenwriter's hut was on the studio lot, you know, again, kind of metaphorically where we are now, even, you know, and it's where people, you know, smoking and with fedoras and everything, you know, would gather to conjure plots, you know, and then, as we are, this little circle of firelight, which we also think of as the screenwriter set, to spiral desirable stories out there, going, how about that one? How about that one? Could be that, or whatever you think is better. That's really good. Because remember, tyranny loves being hated. Yeah, and it was poignant on the day of the election. I saw this great kind of YouTube clip of Peruvian shamans, you know, kind of with photographs of Trump and Hillary going, good Hillary, bad Trump, bad, you know, no, you cannot. And I go, oh, Mythic News, really good. But then later, in retrospect, I go, no, he loves that. You know, the black magic, you know, feeds the tyrant, going, oh, I love it when shamans are beating my picture. It feels so good. So opposition feeds tyranny. Ursula Le Guin says we strengthen whatever we oppose. Now we're back to the Aikido dynamic, not to condone, but to be effective. Effective. So we want to compost tantrum yoga. You know, Steve Behrman's phrase, trademark. Okay. But I do love that, you know, and, you know, and as Esther Hicks says, you know, we don't want to keep banging the drum of what is unrelentingly. It sucks, it's terrible, the corruption, it sucks, it's terrible, it's corruption. You know, you want to pulse that going, it sucks, it's terrible, and this is where we want to go. Otherwise, one's using one's magical, linguistic, and energetic skills to keep affirming the prison. As another friend of mine, Jason on the Nine, says, you know, why do people argue so fervently for their limitations, you know? And that's why even using with ourselves, you know, the liberating words, you know, when people go, oh, terrible, you know, and I just go, yet. You know, nothing's good, it hasn't, it's terrible, yet, you know, it hasn't yet, you know, oh, yet. It's like that turns the lock a little bit. Until now is the great word combo, which is like, oh, it's terrible, the thing is, until now. It unlocks the circle of habit and turns it into a spiral of liberating ritual. Again, these useful tricks as we're navigating the underworld ghost river, where we do need all of our, you know, kind of playful trickster quality dynamics. You know, in fairy tales, also there's this, you know, fairy tales are about openings and about multiple multiverses and multiple stories occurring at once. In Arabic, fairy tales begin by saying, it twas and twas not. You know? It's very Neptune stationing. You know, they begin a lot in twilight, which is neither day nor night, but the time between worlds. So we're kind of in this twilight of the year now, right? We're heading to the dark of the winter solstice, and we just had the full moon, so it's waxing, and it's the dark of democracy and the dark of many things. But that's where things can happen. You know, again, all according to how we calibrate now. Because the field is so strong that whatever we tap into, there's quite a lot of it. It's why, you know, social media, useful, but also dodgy. Because you can feel when it's getting hot and reactive. And it's like, no, don't answer, just turn it off. don't be snookered into that time-wasting ninja. You know, because it is, you know, and you know, we catch ourselves too, which is, you know, how, you know, not to be finger waggy, but finger waggy. I notice you're wagging your finger. You know, it's like, no, you know, and then it's, you know, to love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before, says Michael Gruber's character, which is quite wonderful. You know, because when you do have a little kind of, you know, and then truth is said, and then it comes out, and you go, oh, that is really great. That's better than not having said or not having brought up the thing, you know, the dance. It's a little bit dangerous, right? You know, sometimes got to cross the line to know where it is. You know, and everybody's got their own affinity for how much risk they get themselves into. But it is worthwhile. And again, the shape-shifting of metaphors and amplifying our responses. So again, we're not first reactors, we're first responders. So, you know, over the years, as people have come up going, I just hated what you said, you know, yeah, I was doing a talk on that included a kind of critique of the Abrahamic religions, and as Joseph Campbell said right before he died, he said the warlike, you know, problems of the Middle East give evidence of the mythological bankruptcy of the three Abrahamic religions. Gotta go. it's a good exit line, you know. And you know, he died on Halloween, stylish to the end. But anyway, I said that, and a rabbi came up to me afterwards and said, I've never been so insulted in all my life. And I go, the evening is young. And then later on, a woman came up and was like, you voted for Hillary, whatever the thing is. And I go, okay, how about we join hands? And we jump into this cauldron that we're going to see before us right now, and we say, if there's anything in either one of us that is not dedicated to collective good, let it be bubbled off. And she was like, are you serious? I'm like, no. but I'm playful, you know, and she's like, okay. So I go, all right, let's close our eyes, and on the count of three, we're going to jump, you know. One, two, three, and we even did a little jump. And then, you know, I did one of those things kind of opening my eyes, but she was still really into it, like, you know, backstroke and swing around. And then she came up and she was like, that was so cool. You know, so, you know, it's again, you know, when I've journeyed to CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, because I've met these people. You know, and when you know, right-wing Ayn Rand people who were all following, I mean, literally, it's all like a cartoon. It's like the backstage gods are, do we have to make it any clearer for you? You know, orange-faced guy with horns, you know, and everything. And the right-wing Ayn Rand, you know, Austrian economists were following around this guy who really had a cane and a black patch over one eye. And, you know, and it was like the wonderful thing, like, you know, walk like this. And then they were all sort of walking like that behind you. And then they saw me, because I you know, look like I do, and they were like, you know, who are you? And I said, I'm Coyote Network News. I'm a mythological news service for the trickster redeemer within us all. And they said, that is so cool. Right? But again, I had to use what's also invisibly under your chair. I had to use my harumphitude composter before that would work, right? Because I was thinking, you know, because again, I don't know what got into me. I was looking at them feeling like, ugh. You know, bad darkness. You know, and as they headed over, I'm like, harumphitude composter, harumphitude composter. There we go. What's that you're holding? Oh, nothing, just my harumphitude composter. You have one too. And so that's really crucial that we be, you know, agents of cool, that we do. And these metaphors are so useful. Again, you know, just meant as priming the pump of each person's own creativity. But, you know, they are energetically real. You know, and reminding us that, you know, as I've been saying all year, but, you know, we're inaugurating a guiding story. Inaugurate comes from the augur, the diviner within all of us, that would walk out into nature, and nature would reveal the responsible human, and then they would be inaugurated. What a good idea. We haven't gotten to that yet, although there's many things in our journeys. This is one good gathering tonight, and then many ways we can stay in touch, because, you know, the inauguration chart is not predictive, but it is guiding about, you know, it really can be renaissance. It really can be, you know, so if we're not just reacting, but assuming cultural narrative lead. And that's when I say we've been smoked on our strong suit of symbolism and story. You know, who has the most inclusive, magnetizing, non-condescending, invitational story? Right, and that's where we want to come up, you know, because, you know, Trump taking on ISIS, it's kind of like the IRS and Scientology, although I think ISIS is probably smarter. But they are doppelgangers. In fact, you know, when I went to Cleveland on your behalf, you know, there were many things that happened in Cleveland, but, you know, again, practicing all of this. And, you know, right-wing Alabama Trump delegate Baptist minister, a little too flirty. Your hand's been there a long time. There, okay. But we, you know, I was like, want to play a game? Oh, yes, I love games. And I go, okay, I have some quotes, and some of them are from ISIS-Daesh, and some are from Trump, and you tell me which is which. He's like, oh, fine. They're the same. I mean, because, you know, we must gather a noble mission. You'll get health insurance. It'll be really good. We must destroy the world in order to create it, the thing. He goes, that's Trump. I go, that's Daesh. And he's like, ha, got me. Huh. Might have to think about that. And it's like, yes, you go think about that. Because they both are toxic mimics who have an irresistible story that speaks to, you know, come have a mission and be part of a kind of Uber thing, you know, and, you know, a gang, a thing, you know. And, you know, it's been said about Daesh that their reporter who was with them for quite a long time, their recruiting story is so joyful. You know, they got social media, they got, you know, again, come, you know, this noble thing, you know, that will draw upon your best qualities. Everybody wants a mission, right? And that's what the kind of Trump thing kind of tapped into in Cleveland. And I did know, you know, there are those moments when you know, and then, oh, no, you don't want to know. And again, the future is not fixed, but one-on-one, playful. In Cleveland. And in fact, there was much more hatred in the streets in Philadelphia, in a vituperative hatred of Hillary kind of way, you know, weird way. I mean, there were Lock Her Up and when the mob mind, and there was, you know, Proud to Hate T-shirts being sold in Cleveland and all. And so there was a spooky thing. But on a one-on-one level, okay. But together, mob mind. And like Tiffany Aiken, the young girl witch, she has to dissolve, demagnetize the mob mind to suck the chi out of the cunning man. You know, and so we want to do that as well. Not contributing, sucking the chi, right? And again, you know, so it's agile, it's responsive, it's unpredictable. No prison for the unexpected, linguistically, right? Because, you see, again, at CPAC, if I'd said I'm a left-wing Pacifica environmental feminist, you know, just no fun at all. You know, and to each person in a way to have some unique description that you kind of play, that's true, that you play with and kind of hone, that is unexpected and has never been heard of. Because see, if it's never been heard of before, there is no prison, and that's the one of the issues with all words that end with ist, IST. Even though, you know, I'm kind of stuck with the visionary activist, you know, show, but. Bless its little heart. But again, changing ist, which is why I like changing environmentalists to sane reverent people, had this to say today, you know, Republicans came out against sane reverent people, you know, the linguistic shape-shifting that even just, you know, even opposition then supports it, you know, and sane reverent people were out in the streets, and sane reverent people, you know, I mean, again, just the play and linguistic plays. You know, and even just the subtle changing of a word can change it from being snookered into polarity into an effective invitational spiral. You know, speak truth to power, see, I think is still like, we are noble and you're going to crush us, but we're more noble than you, now we're dead. If you just change one word, right, rather than speak truth to power, which is still kind of like unworked out issues with daddy, speak truth, be power, right? Then we got an ancient thing going on, and it's magnetic, you know. Speak truth, be power, you know. Just reminding again the trickster liberator and wonderful learned druid John Michael Greer, who says, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, right? And you will only get heat and conflict, and space bugs will love it. So that's so crucial for us now with all the protests, people grabbing their balls out there on the street. And again, the brilliant reframing that happens at Standing Rock to not using the word protester anymore, protector. We go, oh, that's brilliant. It's true. You know, protectors, you know, the police came out against protectors, you know. It's just, again, already, you know, we're it's truer, it's more authentic, it's it's more invitational, it's more magic. And it already forms a collaborative alliance. You know, we are protecting water, water is protecting us. Again, whatever we love, loves us. Whatever we love, loves us and wants us to be its storyteller, you know, for it. So what John Michael Greer says is, you know, two, conflict. What two needs is three, which is the unifying story. Come on in. You know, we're all in this dream together. We've all been snookered. We. You know, may everyone, not may you, may everyone, may we do this, may we do that. It's just part of our it's truer, you know, because Neptune says we are all in this dream together, you know, and we're all part of each other. And it becomes also an effective magical realm, wonderful dream coach that I worked with, Donna Graham, wherever you are, many ways to work with dreams, but she would do this genius thing in which, in our little group, somebody would tell their dream, nobody else could interpret it, and then she would guide each person to tell the dream, their dream, in a way in which everything in the dream was them. Right. And it's just really interesting because you could see, even if you were an outside witness and you couldn't quite tell the details, you could see somebody arriving at their own autonomous revelation going, whoa. And that's part of the conflict or the cauldron of now. You know, everything into the cauldron going, does it guide people to their own autonomy? Is the trickster welcome? Can the truth be said without fear? Is it equal Mars and Venus, men and women? Is it equal humans and the rest of creatures on this planet? Yes, we ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. Because, see, all spiritual traditions, I mean, everything wants to be bubbled now according to what is it we need now. And the piece of the puzzle I always carry with the brokering deals backstage with animals and rocks and plants,
Whoa, team. This is Caroline Casey. This is the Visionary Activist Show, and you've been listening to a portion, a mere portion, of the rousing, cahooting post-cataclysmic election talk that I delivered at Open Secret in San Rafael, California on November 15th. For the full woof and the rousing finale, let us all rise to the occasion. You can find that at CoyoteNetworkNews.com. And thanks always to Erica Bridgman, wonderful Berkeley team, and Coyote Network News, and follow me on Twitter at Stand Up Coyote. Woof, woof, woof.
When you think of the Hard Knock, you think of that.
Station of Resistance.
One of the most phenomenal beats of all time.
Good information and great radio.
News, views, and hip-hop.
What? Do it the way you feel it.
Hard Knock.
Hard Knock.
Hard Knock Radio.
Monday through Friday.
And it's from 4 to 5 p.m. knocking hard in your area.
94.1 KPFA.
Only revolution is our evolution.
So good.
Right on Time is activist scholar Kenyaga Yamada Taylor with her forceful new book, Hashtag Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation. It got rave reviews from Michelle Alexander and Dr. Cornel West. She will speak on Monday evening.